Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Hello, welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Scan Radio Show number 2452, presented by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, NASCA. My name is Jo Kalk, calling in from the beautiful Oregon coast. I am an adult survivor of child abuse, and I will be your host this evening. NASCA is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. It is a nonprofit 501c3 organization which is self-supporting through our own contributions. Our focus is on child abuse, trauma, prevention, intervention, and recovery. On Tuesday and Thursday evenings, we have an open mic Q&A call-in discussion with a survivor professional co-host who will assist in fielding questions and lead a variety of topics suggested by our call-in participants. You may call in at 646-595-2118. Tonight, our special co-host is Pastor Deborah Schleich, who grew up all over the world in a military family where her mother was mentally ill and is now a survivor professional. Living in Pensacola, Florida, she's trained in ministry, mental health, working with substance abuse, and is a trauma-informed social worker, all in one. She volunteers with many community organizations. Pastor Deborah says she, quote, can minister by text, phone, Skype, in person, and however the Lord directs her 24/7, unquote. She teaches that humans have three parts, being of spirit, soul, and the physical body, and believes that all three are important and that each area needs care. I appreciate Pastor Deborah being here tonight, and we are starting to build a panel. We could sure use some more. Come on, call in at 646-595-2118. And I am going to now bring on Dr. Deborah. And how are you, Pastor Deborah? I'm going to call you a doctor tonight. I've decided
that's okay.
Hi, Pastor Deborah. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, sitting inside while it's raining outside.
Sounds great. That sounds great. Well, thank you for being...
And just waiting to, help people do a little bit more discovery and looking inside and seeing where we can help them out tonight.
Great. Well, let's bring on our first panelist, and we'll introduce her, and then we will start bringing in the rest of the panelists. We're going to start with Mary Ellen from New York. Hi, Mary Ellen. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Can you hear me?
And we have
Yes,
I can. Yes, great.
Okay.
And we
Thank
have
you.
Pastor Deborah here.
I'm glad to join you tonight. I do have a quick question, if it's okay.
Okay.
What would you said three parts. So how do you distinguish between soul and spirit?
You want me to do that now?
I don't
sure.
know.
Go ahead.
I just was afraid I would
okay.
forget it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Typically, the soul part of us is what Freud called our subconscious, and it's the part of us that the therapists usually work with. It stores our emotions, our memories. It's the part that's in pain and been wounded, and it's very connected to the physical body, and they're sort of one. The spirit part of us is that part that a lot of people would say had near-death experiences, and usually the spirit is one with the soul for a long, long time, and then it can be separated, so it can be ministered to separately, and that spirit part of us is that part that lives on, most people believe, after death and goes somewhere. And those who have had near-death experiences have experienced that. Other people have had an experience if they've left their body out of fear or great trauma. They don't talk about it a lot. Also, the spirit part, if you study the occult, a lot of the people in the occult move out of their body purposely. So typically you have a physical body, you have a soul, and like I said, Freud was the one who called it the subconscious. Now he also had something called the unconscious, what he knew was there, but he couldn't quite get a grasp of it, which was the spirit. And so typically in mental health counseling, which has been based on Freud and a lot of people's changing your thoughts and your concepts, you're dealing with your soul. And it needs a lot of help and a lot of healing, a lot of education, information. And that is a vital part of healing as well as the spirit. Does that help?
Yes, I guess I've kind of just thought of them as one.
Okay. A lot of people
thank
do.
You.
A lot of people do, and it does get confusing, and I came out of the mental health world believing, you know, that's all we have is the soul, and that was the main part of us. It's a very important part of us, and I had to learn about the other part, and I had to study it, and I had to learn about how it gets hurt and how it gets wounded and things like that. So it took me a
mm-hmm.
long time to get there.
Well, thank you for sharing. Oh,
thank you.
Ah, okay.
Thank you. All right, and we have also on the panel is Bill, our CEO and founder. Hi, Bill. How are you tonight?
I'm okay, Joe. Thanks very much, and I appreciate your being here and leading the show. And thank you to Pastor Deborah again for being our co-host to answer the questions here. You know, she can answer them from the spiritual perspective. She obviously has a lot of, she's a minister, so she has a lot of that, but she's also very trained in mental health and social work. Also, she's a survivor. So the questions that mm-hmm. could be brought up tonight could really come from a really broad spectrum of topics. So we hope that the panel's going to include people who have, you know, they don't have to be questions about her ministry, for example. They can be about her experience as a survivor, and that's just as valid. But anyway, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you. And let's have some more. Let's call 646-595-2118. Call in, join the panel. As Bill said, it's not just about ministry, it is about your whole health and recovery. So with that, I will turn it back over to Pastor Deborah.
Okay. The topic I wanted to bring up tonight for people to think about and comment on was, what does healing look like? A lot of people don't know where they're trying to. They know they don't like where they're at. It's very painful. A lot of bad memories, but they don't know what, like, how will you know when you're healed? What would that look like to you? And to some people it might be different, but it's a topic that if it's like if I wanted to travel from here to another city, I have the GPS coordinates, I know, and when I get there, I know I have arrived. So a lot of times people don't know what healing is. And a lot of times your therapists and your groups, they're working through the process of healing, but they can't tell you, you know, what maybe it would look like at the end. So I wanted to bring that up so people could talk about it and just, you know, express how they think about it and have they thought about what healing looks like to them.
Wow, that's a great topic. Mary Ellen or Bill, either of you want to jump start off with that, what healing looks like? Okay.
Well, if you're waiting for me, I probably
I'm just wanting to give you the opportunity.
Prophetic answer. I guess I don't know what healing would look like when I reach that point, I guess. I think what I feel like I'm either in pain or at a standstill where I'm not suffering, but I don't know how to meet a better life, a more fulfilling life. Mm. You know, like I get out of the pain and out of the trauma, and then it's like I just get by.
Yeah.
Thinking there's something more, but I don't know how to reach it.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like a now what type thing.
Yeah. I know there's more, but I don't know how to get there.
I like that.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I was thinking it's when I'm no longer in pain or no longer fearing or you know, when the nightmares stop or something. But how do you know? And how, you know, so that is a great question, Dr. Deborah. I hope you have some answers, too.
You know, I kind of like cycle when something will trigger, you know, like recently a death in the family set me back again, you know, and then it's like you're never back where you started, but it's definitely a backslide and then you progress to what level.
Well, but would you then have a way of where you're going for the when you backslide, you now know sort of a direction to go because you've traveled that before? Does that make sense?
I feel like I do make progress, and each time I get a little further. I just don't know how to reach a spot where I feel happy and confident that it's going to remain. Maybe that's more direct. I feel like I feel guarded, you know.
Okay. Bill, do you have anything before we ask Pastor Deborah to respond? Bill, do you have anything you would like to contribute?
Well, I think Marie Ellen said a couple of really meaningful things, and I would suggest that if you want to know what recovery is about, you should remember what it was like just before you got here, because just before you got here, it was a mess for me. You know, feelings were all over the place. I was triggered by everything. I was in a lot of self-doubt. I was sure it was going to work for everybody else, but not me in this thing called recovery. And so it's important to remember where we came from, because that's how we can measure wherever we are, if indeed we want to measure it. Now, I don't measure it per se anymore, but there was a time when I did, because it was all brand new. And every new experience, when it was verified that it was definitely something I should be doing because it worked, you know, I tried it and it worked, I kind of chalked that up to put it in the toolkit that I had with me. And as Mary Ellen said, it's not a consistent thing because, you know, you try and fail at various things, but even when you have moved forward to some degree and then take a couple of steps back, you still have all the tools that were in that toolkit, to take out again. So you don't, I have not gone back to the beginning again, is the point. It gets progressively better. I think my goal is to feel more and more comfortable inside of Bill and have a better and better opportunity for a better and better life. I can't force my life to get better, but I can put myself in a position where I can see that it's possible now to grow towards something, whereas when I first got here again, I was completely stymied with, you know, how to make progress. So I think ultimately for me, it's come down to a feeling of comfort that I couldn't have predicted when I first got here, couldn't possibly have predicted, and a sense of, like I said, my life is in a good place. I have places to go and people to see, and of course not with COVID, but I mean, if not literally right now, but places to go, people to see, things to do that are all meaningful, and I think progressively getting better, not worse. Sometimes things get a little worse, or life comes along and it sends you a bump in the road, but you can get back up. I mean, I'm mixing metaphors. You can get back up on the horse and ride again, which is what you do when you get thrown off a horse. You get back up and ride again, you know. Same thing with recovery. And you don't lose your knowledge of how to ride a horse when you fall off. You know, you get back on and you remember how to ride a horse. So it's not like starting over again. Does that help a little bit, Pastor Deb?
Yeah, that's good. I think that's
something. Thank you, Bill.
I like to, like, when I minister with people, I usually have to know, like, sort of, what would the life have been before the trauma, okay? And what all the different components would be there, and how the trauma interrupted it, whatever it did. And then I have to be able to lead either through talking or prayer or help them somewhere. And a lot of your therapists, you know, they do believe, oh, if you have memories of things you haven't been able to remember, then you're getting healed. And so it's real important when people do get into therapy or recovery that they sort of have a goal. Like sometimes you could get in a recovery group and the only thing that's going to get healed is maybe one little part of you or one little emotion is going to get healed, and that's going to be very tender for a while. I just told Joe that it's sort of like some of these people are getting COVID, a major trauma. They get over it, the virus dies. But their bodies are left with weaknesses, trauma from the hospital and things like that. So they're still not healed yet. The virus is over with. It's like the abuse has ended. But they're still in recovery, and they're not quite returned back. And if you've had trauma as a child, you may not know where you were supposed to grow up to be or do, what was a normal, and if you're around a family structure or friends, you may not have had any people to look at to say that's what I'm supposed to be feeling or how I'm responding. So a lot of people they just want the pain to stop. Okay, well, we can do that. Is that healing? And that's where they run into in the substance abuse, is that's what substance do. They stop the pain, and then we get you off of it. Now we got to deal with the feelings of it, the memories of it. So people have to ask themselves, what would you be like if you could say, I never was abused. I can look at the people that did it, and I have no memory of it. okay? And I'm a completely new person. And you have no pain associated with anything. Is that healing? Or is there always going to be some type of memory there, some type of raw emotions that you just put a Band-Aid over and a scab and something triggers it and it gets the scab gets taken off because of the infection there? So I like to people to sort of, you know, have a thought or at least figure out, where am I trying to get to? And it might be many different people, many different recovery ways, maybe a long time, you know, for the healing to occur. And I but if you don't know where you're going to, okay, how do you know when you get there? And so a lot of people don't know what, if you've never been abused in the way that sex people have been. Well, does that mean that, well, maybe they've been abused? I didn't have that in my family. But my mother was mentally ill. She wasn't there for me. Okay? Mm. Was that childhood trauma and abuse? Yes. Did I grow up without a mother? Mm-hmm. That wasn't normal? Yeah. She didn't have a full deck of cards. The family wasn't normal. Well, how did I get through that? How do I look back on that? Now, they're all gone in heaven. And so a lot of people, you know, I do ministry with, they're way on in their years, their 40s and their 50s, but there's some part of them still stuck back as a child. And a lot of times it's, you'll hear about the inner child is not healed yet. Mm-hmm. So I like to bring up the topic so when people are trying to get recovered and in recovery and get somewhere, that they are able to tell the therapist or something, I have a lot of wounds, and it might take a while, you know, but I know I can get there, and I have an image. Maybe I have somebody that's been in my life that shows me what real love is or what a life that without, okay, they've been abused, but now they don't have the triggers. And I have that model in front of me. Usually your therapists aren't that great because you only see them once a week. And, you know, very limited. And Bill got a lot of his healing in the 12-step program where he got hugs and people and stuff. So some people you're going to get it, but, well, I don't know. I've been abused, but what's hurt? What's wounded? Okay, like we're looking now at the COVID and they're going, we have a virus. Well, we have to study the virus. So you have to study abuse. What does it affect? The physical body is healed, but what is still wounded? What is still feeling the abuse? What has the abuse done to, we'll say, the subconscious? How do you get rid of the memory, the flashbacks, the nightmares? How do you heal that? How do you know when you don't have that anymore? So it's a topic that a lot of people, they just want the pain to stop, okay? Go do drugs, go gamble. The pain will stop until the next time something happens. It'll come again. So it's just a topic to bring up to people as they are going through healing and recovery to think about. That's all.
Well, yes, and also what I found out during my healing and recovery was my whole worldview had to change, which I didn't even realize. So, you know, you develop a concept of what the world is like based on your home life, and then, you know, that has to be healed as well. We have a new member a new panel member that I'd like to introduce, and I just opened your mic, area code 253. May I ask who's calling, please?
Hi, my name is Selena.
Selena, okay,
yes.
Thank you. And you are calling in with, this is with Pastor Deborah. She is here on a Q&A call-in show. And have you been able to hear most of what's going on so far?
Yes, I did miss the first 10 minutes, but I've been listening since then.
Okay.
And I was just listening to what she was saying right now. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So how do I know where I want to be? Like, how do I know what the goal is? Because I have been through this journey before with support groups and therapists and medication and felt like I gathered all the tools I needed in order to be self-sufficient after a few years of going through all of that. And then I'm here again 5 years down the road, re-triggered off a phone conversation, and I'm going through the same feelings again. So I just don't know how I know what my goal is supposed to be. Like, should I have stayed in therapy and support group then? Was I really not capable of being self-sufficient? So I don't know how I come to that conclusion of what it should be.
That's good. Pastor Deborah, do you have feedback?
Sure. And I think that is the question that most people ask. When you really study yourself from a subconscious in your soul, it's like, have you ever figured out in our biological brain where we store our memories? It's all chemical, electrical. How does my brain interpret what my eyes are seeing? Okay? And so there is a biological component, and we know that when people get dementia, there's plaques that get things, and there's chemicals. We know about adrenaline, and we know about dopamine. We know about the pleasure ones. A lot of this is the biological brain. Okay, we know that chemicals get released if you sense your eyes or your ears sense fear. You automatically respond to a flight or fight center. Chemicals are released in the brain.
Okay.
Automatically, nanoseconds, through the hormones and stuff like that for your survival. So if those chemicals get released, but there's no perceived abuse, your biological brain is going to be feeling through cortisol and stuff, that fear. Because it's a perceived. So part of the healing process is understanding how the biological brain works. Where does it store these memories? What are memories? And how the biological brain and your soul, your emotions, your feelings, how are they connected? If you were just a biological thing, all chemicals, because a lot of times your biological body, it only knows pleasure or pain, and it typically will shrink away from pain, and if it has to eat, drink, do drugs, have sex, win at bingo, go shopping, to kick in those endorphins to make the soul feel better, it will do that. Because it's really the soul that is connected to these chemicals. And they're sort of they're a partnership. Now, in therapy, you don't get that in-depth information by the therapist. And a lot of times you have to ask the therapist, what is their schooling in? What is their philosophy? Who are they following? Who did they study? What form of healing are they trying to get to? Some of them, they are just trying to get you to remember, okay, the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because then they think once you remember it, the power of that memory goes away. Okay, well, I don't know.
Okay.
So you have to study, and some therapists believe, in hypnosis, because we're going to go deep, and we're going to find out who that little inner child in there and what's going on and who's holding this memory and who's holding that memory, and we got a big family down there. Okay? And so a lot of times people been abused are at the mercy of the therapist. They don't know where they're trying to take you because you don't ask questions, because you don't know what to ask. But if you have a general idea, I'd like to be able to think of a person without having any pain or memory connected with it, that I could look at them and go, you didn't do anything to me. okay? I feel no pain or hate towards you, okay? So it's a healing is a process that involves a lot of our biological body, our memories, our feelings, our desires. We don't know, like what Joe said, our whole concept of what is normal and what is a normal healed person. We didn't have those models in our family. So we don't know a lot of times. And we don't know what you're supposed to do with all these feelings. We don't know how to deal with fear or how to deal with traumatic events or death, okay? We don't know. We've never been taught. Most of our families were dysfunctional. And if they did it, my family grew up where we had the silent treatment. You don't talk about anything. There is no therapy. Nobody mentions nothing. How did I get through it? Okay. My brother did not. Okay. So some people's families also contribute. With child abuse, that's something we keep behind the closet. And even as adults, we don't talk about that. So
right.
we come from families that your doorway to healing, it's not there. So you have to do some studying. You have to read literature. Maybe listen to a lot of people, maybe like Bill, who's way on down the road, been through many recovery groups and healing. He can tell you where he was. He can tell you about his journey along the way and where he is now today. And,
okay.
You know, you go, wow, if I could just get at that level. And then you would ask Bill, how'd you do it? And Bill might say, well, I went to 12-step support group for a long time. Oh, then I had therapy. Well, then I did yoga. Oh, well, then I did this. And all the time it kept changing and, you know, get that. So a lot of times you have to ask a lot of questions. And you have to have some mentors in front of you that are further on down the road. You'd have to read their books. You got to read their testimony, see a YouTube or talk to them and say, how'd you get there? I know your story. How did you get there? What did you do? And you sit under them and you learn and you put yourself under them. You say, well, you know, I go along for a while, okay, and then something happens. Yes, you have that scab, that wound is still there in the soul. And it's not healed yet, and it's sensitive, sort of like a bruise. And it's still sensitive when it gets bumped. Well, how do you heal the bruise? So a lot of times you study the biological body. How does the biological body heal a wound? How does it heal, grow new skin? Is it tender for a while? Sure. How does it, like if you have your knees replaced, there's a long haul of recovery. Something's been hurt. How do you recover? How does the physical body learn? And you say, okay, I got some bruises and wounds in my soul. Painful, some aren't painful. Okay, how do I heal them? Then how will I know? You will know when a trigger comes and you don't get triggered. Can you go, that didn't bother me. Don't have those things. Okay? Don't get that. They come. The triggers are going to come. Don't come. Oh, boy, stuff's really coming through COVID right now. Okay? It's going to come. Okay? And you either, how you'll learn if you're healed is if they come and you get and something in your life happens, but you don't respond the way you used to. You respond totally different. And you don't go backwards. Then you go, well, that's weird. That used to bother me. Doesn't bother me anymore. Huh. So those are some things. I don't know if that helps anybody or not.
How was that,
okay.
Selena?
I feel that there really isn't an answer to my question. like we just all basically are all on our own journeys and have to figure out what works for us and educate ourselves is kind of what I got out of that. So,
okay,
because
well,
if I have a scab and I pick it off, I can put Neosporin on it and it's better and I never have to deal with it again. So that comparison doesn't relate to me because I did all of the work that I thought I had to do and now I'm back here again. So,
well, what you'll have to do is go ask yourself something deep, 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 okay, that got bumped, got triggered, got sort of, you know, a stick got to it, you know, and it brought it back up. And you're going to have to go, huh, well, I thought I dealt with that. I thought, you know, that was all taken care of. And a lot of times we do. We think it's taken care of. And but then something comes along, and it might just be, on a scale of 1 to 10, it might just be a 4, where it used to be a 10. So it's a little less. And then we work on that, like Gil said, and you deal with that one. And then you go on down the road, you know, days, and something happens. And the next time it might be just a 2. It's a little less. Doesn't have the power over you anymore. It's still there, but it's still not quite gone. So those are some things. You know, the doctors ask us, you know, when we go on a scale of 1 to 10, show us your pain. Some things, if they're very foundational in the soul, okay, very, very deep, because some of the abuse is very more traumatic at certain ages in our development, biologically, emotionally, and they are deep, 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 and we think we've dealt with them, and then something comes along, and lo and behold, it's right back. But if it's less than the intensity of it that it was, and you can recover out of it, you know to get in therapy or you know to do something, okay? And it might come up again and again and again. And what you want is that it gets less, more powerful. It's not as hurting. The pain lasts shorter. And eventually you go, the stuff's going to, you know, the triggers will come, but you want to hope that you're at a scale of a 1 or a 2 and you don't stay in it as long as you used to. And
okay,
go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead. Yep.
I would like to engage with Selena by asking a couple of questions first, if you don't mind, Selena, just
of course,
for clarification.
Bill.
Yeah. I think you said you were around 5 years in recovery or something like that. So you're not a brand newcomer, right?
Right.
And that this was an issue that you were surprised how strong you reacted to it. Is that accurate? Because I'm trying to find what is the exact question here.
Well, but yes, that's true. When I was listening to the show, she was saying, like, when we go with engage with a therapist, we need to know where we want to be and have a goal. But I just don't know how I know what that goal and where I want to be is, because I thought I was already there. But I now realize I'm not.
Well, what I'm going to insert here, Selena, is the fact is you've had significant recovery under your belt, so you perhaps got to a place where you thought, well, I'm getting close to finish now. I know everything I need to know. And that's not my experience. But I do understand that kind of thinking. And then what happens is, you know, our lives get challenged. We no longer are dealing with the simple fact of just, you know, simply getting by. We now complicate our lives with other activities, and life goes on. And sometimes it throws us a curveball. Somebody dies, some big deal happens. Sometimes it's an exciting thing, and we don't handle that very well sometimes. But the point is, it's not a consistent. And while you have a scab that you can pick the scab, you know, you have a wound and they could pick the scab off, and then eventually you have a little scar, but there's no more bleeding. That's not how recovery works. Trauma is in your brain. You know, you have a wounded brain. And I think there are kind of layers of coming to understand that that wound is going to be there. So it's not. See, I don't think in terms of getting rid of triggers. I think in terms of recognizing them when they come back, but not giving them the kind of power that I used to anymore. I have tools that I can that help me to react in a better way, a more healthy way, to a trigger. But I don't expect to get rid of them. I don't fight them. In other words, which I used to do.
Okay.
And that's really hard. That's a really hard row to hoe, you know?
Right.
And, of course, as you know, Selena, because I think we know each other a little bit, you know, I've been on this journey a long time, as Deborah said, and it's not, there is no pat answer to any of this stuff. I did not know where I was supposed to go. I never have known where I was supposed to go. But I have a sense that I'm getting better most of the time. And then sometimes I slip back. And usually when I slip back, it's because I've relaxed the use of the tools that have been working. And when I recognize that, I go back and use those tools again. And again, it may take a little while, but, you know, I come back into line with just kind of being comfortable inside of Bill. Still challenged, still with a lot to do, a lot to look forward to in life, but comfortable for right now. And it's always, you know, about right now, because it's not permanent. It's just for today. Now, these are hopefully some things that might help you that have occurred to me over time. But they're not newcomer issues. Newcomers have different issues than what you're describing.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Mary Ellen, do you have anything you would like to contribute to this discussion right now?
It seems to me like Selena and I have a similar question on our heart tonight, just trying to figure out how to move forward when we think we're doing well and we have that unexpected thing fly up and give us a setback. And I think what I struggle with is trying to make myself believe that each time it's just a setback, it's not where I used to be,
right.
And I have progressed and I will move forward again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
all of that's correct. Yep.
Thank you.
I have something to share that may or may not be helpful to others. All I'm saying is this worked for me. I found when I was going through my healing journey, when I felt I was doing well and was strong enough, then I was shown something that I had been hanging on to in my body and saying, do you still want this? And if I was triggered, then I would say, okay, how else do you want to respond to this? This is how I've always responded when I see this person. I always do this. Okay, how else do I want to respond? It's like, okay, you're giving me an opportunity to do something different now. And so what would be something different to do? And then that's sort of where I learn, okay, well, maybe if I did this, you know, or maybe if I did something else. And also, in some cases, I just say, you know, I'm not interested in that anymore. I do not want to keep that anymore. I would like to release that and just not have that in my life anymore. Because I believe very deeply that the body itself records all of the memories and from childhood on, and that in some cases it's trying to show you memories that maybe you don't want to keep and giving you an opportunity to release them or to hang on to them because there's still something that you need to deal with about them. that's just my thing. And again, like I said, it may or may not make sense to anybody else, but this is something that has helped me, because I always look at, okay, I don't want to respond the way I've always done. I want to do something different. And maybe this is an opportunity. I don't know. Does that make sense to either of you?
It does.
That makes sense to me.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to share that.
Kind of like having a plan in advance.
Having a what?
A plan.
I didn't hear that. A plan, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and saying, okay, I'm safe at home now, but I, for example, I think, Selena, you said it was a call. And so I'm getting this call from somebody. The person isn't here, but now how do I want to respond to it? Do I want to respond to it differently? How could I respond to it differently? And maybe that's what is being shown.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you're now in a place where you can actually deal with it, which it reminds me of a spiral staircase going up, that you just keep going up. And but at some point you are, you're saying, okay, I remember this from three floors down, and that's how I handled it. This time, because I learned this and this, I'm going to handle it this other way. And then maybe it loses its, and then at some point it's like, well, like Pastor Deborah was saying, it's now just a two or a one, or I don't even care, you know, that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean necessarily a setback. It means that perhaps you are strong enough to handle it now.
Okay. I don't feel strong enough to handle it this time, but I understand that maybe I just don't recognize that yet.
Well, and it could be that that's why it's being shown to you, is that it is something that is an aspect of yourself that you haven't dealt with. Okay.
Right.
And that it doesn't mean that everything else has failed. It could be this is one thing that wasn't addressed, or you had so many other things that were higher priority that you addressed, or whatever. So.
Right.
And I'm not a therapist, and I don't play one on TV, so I don't want to give any kind heavy weight to that. I'm just sharing something that worked for me.
Thank you.
I do want to take this opportunity quickly to say call 646-595-2118, join the group. Okay, Mary Ellen or Selena or Bill, do you have more on this, maybe a variation of this topic about healing?
Yeah, I don't want to leave Selena. I don't want to leave Selena where she's at now.
Right.
And I want to remind you, Selena, that none of my recovery has been successful if I tried to do it alone. Okay? I don't do my recovery alone. I do it with others.
Mm-hmm.
I call somebody when I'm in a funk, even today. Joe can tell you, Deborah can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I call somebody
mm-hmm.
and I discuss mm-hmm. where I'm at. And I say, I realize that this is, like you're saying, something I've dealt with before and it's come back again. And I don't want to beat myself up for letting it come back again, but I got triggered and I can see where I was wrong. And here's the issue and blah, blah, blah. And I'll talk it out with somebody. Because it's really helpful to have another person who understands along the way, even if they don't have any. And I don't really want a lot of advice, to be honest with you. I just want to share. I'm going to get it out of me. And sometimes, you know, I do get advice, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, I'm not calling necessarily to say, what should I do, Joe? You know, I'm just saying, I don't feel very good. You know, here's where I'm at, and here's what I've realized about it. We may talk about it or not, but I don't do it alone is the point, Selena. I don't do it alone, even today. You know, I call people. I have unfortunate enough now to have, I guess, really dozens, huh, Joe, of people that I could call on, and I do. You know, it's not a small group anymore. It used to be. Now I could turn to quite a large number of people who I trust enough to just to know that when I'm sharing something with them, you know, they will respect, you know, my desire to just get it out of me and share it with somebody else. And, you know, so please don't do this alone. Okay, is I guess the message I'm seeing with this particular share that I'm doing right now.
Right.
Because alone is a really lonely place, right? And you'll never have to be alone again. Selena, I say this all the time, but it's true. You never have to be alone again, ever, if you don't want to be a day at a time. There are people around you all the time that will help. And I'm one of them.
Thank you.
Okay? Of course.
How would you like to proceed, Selena?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
How would you like to proceed, Selena? Would you like to discuss a little more about the trigger? Do you want Pastor Deborah to work with you on that? What would you like at this point?
Well, I don't want to take over your show.
This is an open question and answer. If Mary Ellen's okay with it, I'm okay with it. We're cool. This isn't you know, this is for as things come up. Mary Ellen, are you okay with Selena sharing?
Yeah, I wanted to say I really think she should, because it's difficult to share with the common people who you might think are friends. But in a group of survivors, it's totally different because they know where you're coming from and they can relate and it's safe. Whereas when you think you can discuss things with your friends, you might get shut down, which just makes it even worse, has been my experience, because they don't know how to react. And I think often closing up is their reaction. And that just makes it I don't know, not acceptable or something. So I really think this is a good opportunity.
Thank
okay.
you. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Very, very supportive. Okay, Selena, how would you like to proceed? Please share.
Well, I can share with you a little bit. I mean, my story is pretty long and complex, but I can tell you what I'm dealing with at the moment. I'll give you a little bit of a backstory. I was sexually abused by my stepfather from the age of 3 to 14 or 15. Still a little blurry on the end date. I told my mother when I was 3, 7, and 11 or 12, but she never helped me. At 12, I told my biological father at the same, and then he told my mother, and they came and took me back under the stipulation she would quit her job and never leave me alone with him. And then that's what I've always known to be true. And then probably a month ago now, I was on the phone with my boyfriend having a conversation about what he did when he was 11 and 12. And then I realized that my time frame of my memory was off, and I have lost my memories from when I was 12, about 12, 13 to 14, 15. Like, I have no recollection. I had 3 knee surgeries during that time, and I was homeschooled. And my mom went back to work and left me alone with my stepfather. I mean, I was trapped there. I couldn't leave. And so initially I was struggling with not remembering what happened and how it must be so terrible that I don't remember, and that I'm 43 years old and I just realized that memory is gone. But what I'm struggling with today is, while I've been processing, trying not to dwell on the memory being gone, but I've been coming to a realization that my mother was complicit in this abuse my whole life, and I've never blamed my mother. I've always was angry with my stepfather, But now, like, all these little memories that I have, I can place her where the when the abuse was happening, and she knew it, and she didn't help me. And so I'm struggling with the fact that, like, I just realized that my mom knew. Like, I never said that out loud to myself. I'm sorry. I never said that out loud to myself, but she knew. Like, not only did I tell her and she just didn't believe me because I was a child, but she knew it was happening. She was there when some of it happened. She left me alone with him for 2 years, knowing he was doing this to me. So I'm really struggling with how to deal with this new information, because it's so awful to know that. So that's what I'm going through right now. That's my story, of a brief story of everything. So, like, wanting to heal myself and thinking there's a cure, for not a better word, which I know there's not. I'm just really afraid of the journey and the process again. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Pastor Deborah, do you have some words?
Sure. Usually, as you were saying, Joe, before, when something comes up, it was probably time for you to know the truth. Now, the truth, it's very painful. And you'll find in a lot of abuse cases, the mamas did know. And they couldn't or wouldn't do anything. But what you have to do is, you're going to have to look at mama and say, you did the best you could. Who knows, maybe she had been abused as a child herself. Maybe she lived in fear. And somehow, and Bill will tell you, you've got to find some forgiveness.
I will not forgive her. That is not my journey.
You will be
surprised. I'm sorry, I didn't rush you.
That's okay. When you can look at her and say, I forgive you, you let yourself go. It's not for her. You don't have to tell her. You don't have to tell anyone. But a lot of times, as Joe was saying, it may be with time for this truth to come out for you to deal with it. It's a powerful one. It's a deep one. Usually most children can handle the abuse of a father, but the abuse from or the neglect of a mother is the most serious, egregious child abuse that there ever is, and it's the most painful and the most deepest wound. And so it was probably time, you were probably strong enough already in your healing to have this revealed to you, so you could either get back in therapy, get back in a support group, go through a process again of crying, being angry, and dealing with it, because it looks like it has to be dealt with. And you're going to be angry for a long time. But eventually, if you stay with people that will listen to you, you cry and yell and scream, and, you know, eventually you will deal with it, put it in its proper place with knowledge, information that you might gather. Maybe you'll learn something about her, that she was abused in the same manner as a child, and she lived in fear, and she was trying to survive herself. You don't know. So usually when a biggie like this comes up, as Joe said, it's for a reason, a good reason, so you can begin the healing process. You can begin letting the bad stuff go and move towards some kind of resolution within yourself towards it. And you'll go through a multitude of emotions, hate, anger, I'm never going to forgive you. You know, so you might need some more truth, or more, or something might come be said, and you'll go, I never knew that. She might not ever be able to say anything to you and say that she knew or didn't know. You may never get that. And so, in a way, it's a good thing you're strong enough to probably deal with it. You've got a group of family at NASCA and people you can call, a lot of therapists on there. You'll get through it, as Bill tells you. You might feel like you're getting set back, but you got enough people around you. They've been through stuff like this, and they have come out the other side, maybe a little battered and feeling weak and stuff and hurt, and then they rebuild their life slowly. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you.
Well, a lot of times, too, there are some memories you just don't need to remember, sweetie. Okay?
Right.
And you don't need to have all that, okay? Some therapists believe you need to remember all of them. But I like to look at it that our brain and our soul, they put some bad stuff away, lock it behind the door, okay? And we're not supposed to go there. It was bad enough when it happened, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then in this
right.
case, with a mama, that's probably the hardest thing to accept. And there's been enough people that are connected that have had parents, one or the other or both, and they look the other way,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't believe them, and then you find out differently. And mm-hmm. she might not ever be able to admit it, talk about it, but you're going to have to just work through it with some trusted people. And you'll go through the myriad of emotions of hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness and rage. And eventually, if you ask or in prayer or something, you need some more information. Why did she do this? You can ask people, why would a mama do this? Maybe it was done to her. Maybe she was so fearful and she had to choose to look away to keep you and her a roof over your head. You don't know. And she may not be able ever to tell you. But being a pastor, there is somebody that does know why that happened. And a lot of people have had this happen, and they've gone to their mamas, and their mamas don't tell them. Nothing happens. Eventually, you either have to choose by your will to either hang on to those negative stuff towards her and all that goes with it, and it's not pretty, as you know, or find some way to forgive, put it in its grave, and move on. And that's your choice, and your will has to kick in and say, this was bad, it hurt, but I don't have all the information yet about why she did that. Okay? And so you're going to, for a while, it'll be very raw, be very intense, and it'll hurt, and you won't understand it, but maybe it's time for this to have come out for you to deal with. Anybody got anything? Does that help you, Selena?
Yes, thank you very much.
You'd be surprised how strong you are. You've been through healing for a while. You would be surprised. Okay? And sometimes you might hear, please forgive me from Mama. Now, what are you going to do? Could be on her deathbed. And then she could, you know, that continues on. So even in therapy, they talk about forgiveness because it sets you free. You're trying to punish them, but it's punishing you. They may not ever ask you, but sometimes, you know, it's the best they could do. My mom came into her marriage with unforgiveness and bitterness from her family. And it spilled over into our life. And she'd never talk about it. But it happened in her family, whatever happened. And so you don't know about her childhood and her family and her life that she brought into the first family and with this man. Maybe that's how her father was. Or a brother of hers, and you don't know that. She ain't going to talk about it. And she's just trying to survive.
But why does
know.
That make it right? I don't understand
it's
why
not.
That makes it right.
I went through the same thing,
and I'm not going to abuse my nephew. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it
doesn't make
it right.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't make it legal or anything. But people got issues. and they spill over, as Bill can tell you, into somebody else's life. And it's how you deal with it and how you choose to deal with it. And that's going to be up to your will to say, I want to process this. I want to deal with it. You'll look at it and say, this wasn't right. No, it wasn't. Maybe she was an abused person herself and lived in, okay, you don't know yet. So she did the best she could. No, it wasn't right. But you got whatever you got dealt with in life, the cards, whatever. Now you have to figure out how you want to play the game. Bill found a way. I'm going to get healed. And I'm going to stay in healing. I'm going to get a group, and I am going to, if I need to call somebody, I'm going to beat this. It's not going to control me for the rest of my life. It happened. It was another season of my life, but I'm not going to let it continue to hurt me and abuse me. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to get healed. If I have to be in a group therapy, online, out beyond the Zoom with Bill and them, calling people, I'm going to overcome this. You may not ever get your questions answered.
Well, let me just say that, you know, I want to talk about where you are today rather than where you might be in the future, because this is what's important. And it always is the case. It's where am I today that I deal with. I don't deal with, I try to stay out of the future, and I try to stay out of the past, frankly. But to talk about, you know, maybe your mom had this in her background and maybe that's an explanation and all like that is not going to help you today. It may or may not be true. I have no idea, but it won't help you today. What will help you today, and worrying about forgiveness is not going to help you today. So let's think about what might help you today. Self-forgiveness would help you today, but I mean from the perspective of I can't remember when I was 13 and I forgive myself for not remembering. That's it. Nothing else.
Right.
You know, and then there's all kinds of other stuff that might come behind that thought, but that's not for today. Today is just being today. Your mom may have had horrible experiences. I agree with you. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. And by the way, I think people who are waiting for their parent to say, I'm sorry, I realize now I was bad as a bad parent and I'm sorry, they're setting themselves up for a disaster because it very rarely happens. Very rarely happens.
Yep.
So you just gotta be here now. Feel the pain. Really feel it. Allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to be angry. I've seen that a couple of times with you. That's good.
I know.
That's
I'm
excellent.
Sorry.
No.
That's good.
That's what we're here for.
That's good.
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
And we want to validate your feelings, you see? We don't want you to say, I'm sorry, I feel angry. We want you to say, I feel angry, damn it. And then we'll say, we understand. We get it.
Yep.
It's a validation for where you are. But it's temporary. It's not going to be your permanent life. It's what you feel today, and it's okay for today to feel that, absolutely. So, you know, just don't pile on too many, I ought to, I should have, you know, I will be. Forget about that. Just be here now. Just be here now amongst other survivors who love you, who care about what's going on with you, who will listen. And I'm going to try and stay out of predicting your future, talking too much about your past. It's just a memory at this point. It's not still happening, but it's a rawness, right? When you have these memories and they're brand new, you get raw and angry, you know, and it's painful. So you're in the right place, Selena. I congratulate you, you know, for talking about this way. Of course.
I feel like I've never been angry before. Like last time when I went through this, I was never angry. Like, today I'm so angry. Angry today.
It's okay.
I'm sorry if I sound rude.
It's not a fearful. It's not a fearful thing to be angry. Okay? It's actually a feeling and it's a release. Because you realize you didn't get from her what any child should get from their mother. So
and
that,
you know what,
yeah, be angry too. Yeah.
You know what I feel it is, Joe? I feel it's a gift
what?
To us that she can express her anger and trust us with it. I think that's a gift you're giving us, Celine.
That is so much better than not feeling anything. Because a feeling is deep within you, and to feel anger is just as valid as feeling happiness or whatever. But to feel nothing is when you might be concerned. Okay, so feeling angry, go for it. You know, don't beat yourself up about it or say you should never be angry, and don't be afraid of it, because you would be angry if this happened to a friend of yours or any of that, if they were telling the story. So, okay? And so we're there supporting you and saying what you need now is to let it out, to release it to this gaping hole that they just stuck in you, and to say, okay, wow, you know, that's a big shock. And like... One was saying that, you know, abuse from one, from a father, you know, well, you know, one thing, but from a mother who should be loving you, yeah, okay. Get angry, but don't expect to get from her now what you never got from her before. Okay, so that's the biggest thing is that it's not going to change it, it's not going to turn it around, so just... release. For me, I use the word release rather than forgive, because forgive has the connotation to some, not everybody, but to some, that, oh, it didn't matter. You know, let's just move on, you know, that kind of thing. But for me, release is for my own benefit. So release would be for your own benefit. But you have to work through, don't have to do anything. You working through that emotion and not turning it off is going to get you more information and get you more healing than stuffing it and turning it off and saying you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Got a lot of people here who care about you, and not all of them are on the phone right now. But there's a lot of people in NASCA who care. Do you know where the phone numbers are on the NASCA website? Do you know where to find contacts?
I have a few contacts from the NASCA support group. So
perfect.
I do have some numbers.
Good. And just call and just say, I need to talk. Or I need to yell and scream. I need to pound pillows. I need to whatever. And I just, you know, I just want somebody to be there for me. And there, anybody would do that for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for calling. I mean, that shows strength right there, is calling in on the show and not just staying at home and crying and being angry and thinking that's wrong. Okay? So...
yeah. Yeah.
That was there. It showed a lot of strength for you to call in. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for being there for me.
It's an honor for us that you do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And an honor is honor for us. And now, I don't want to skip over the importance of the website, Celine, because I know you're not familiar with it yet. But NASCA.org is the hub for everything we do. And we're talking about a contact list that's many, many people, scores and scores, and they're from all over the country, and they're all kinds of people, and you find them on the website, not in the support group, but on the website, along with many, many other things. So do me the favor, you know, if you're going to follow any direction tonight, maybe not tonight, but soon, folks all around the website at NASCA.org, just go all over it, and you are going to be shocked at how much NASCA offers to a person like yourself and to me in terms of tools and articles and discussions and newsletters and groups and contacts and, oh, so many services, and they're all free. That's what you're hooked into. not just the support group that has maybe 15 to 20 people show up, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds are involved with NASCA. And you are too. It's your family. All of those hundreds of people, they're your family now. You're a new family. Your family in recovery. Meg?
And keep calling. If one person doesn't seem to be listening to you or is trying to tell you what to do, which I sometimes accuse myself of, but anyway, just figure that person may not be the help you need right now and call someone else. Has people who they feel more comfortable with than others, okay? And so just keep reaching out, though, okay? Because we are here, we sort of understand, okay? We don't, I totally know what you're going through. I don't say that, but we do have a concept of the depth of that hurt and are here to help and to listen to you. Mary Ellen, I would like to hear from you now, how you're doing with all of this.
I'm very thankful that Selena has shared all of this, and I think she'll feel much better afterwards. I look at it as a betrayal between a mother and a child. I can relate, definitely. I do relate. And my mom's recent passing is what my major trigger was that caused my setback. I definitely think that she is doing a wonderful thing, and she will definitely feel better as she moves forward. And I appreciate
how about you?
Said.
Yeah. Do you have people you can talk with?
I shouldn't say no. Mm-hmm. I am in therapy, but I think this time around I've learned that friends and family are not the ones to lean on at this point.
How about NASCA?
And I'm very happy with my communication with NASCA. Yes.
Great.
Because
there's
a genuine feeling that people can relate. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very
okay. Good. Good.
Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you. All right, Selena, how are we doing?
I'm doing better, thank you. I'm feeling a little bit better once I was able to get it out. And I appreciate you guys listening and your feedback.
Oh, that's why, as someone said, this is a gift to us because we are here to help others as well as our own healing. All right, so if there's something that we can say that from our experience that can help you, then I'm great. For myself, I'm grateful for that. And that one person's experience can help another person. So, and I thank you so much for calling in. This is great.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Yes, and just a little time check. We have about 10 minutes. But I don't want to cut off, and so I'm just sort of using that time frame to make sure that people say what they would like to. So, Selena and Mary Ellen, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity. And Bill, if you I think you understand why I was saying that. If you want to say something now. Then great, because I don't want to run to the end and then have you not be able to share what you wanted to. Okay?
Okay. I think I don't really have anything much else to say. I'm just very appreciative of you guys.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for calling in. Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to tell her that, from my perspective, this is the tip of the iceberg. All the things that you've experienced that have been beneficial in the last little while are really a I hope they whet your appetite for what's to come, because there's a lot to come. And we're not going anywhere. So you'll always be a member. You know, if you say you are, you're a member, as you know. That's part of the tradition. So please take advantage of as many things as you can. You know, some things, like Joe said, you might call some people that you're not that, you know, not that crazy about, and that's fine. But you'll find a bunch of people who you are crazy about, and those people you will gather around you as kind of your closer family members, you know. But there are scores of people to contact on the website, between the contact list, the primary volunteer list, the ambassador list. People put their names there because they want to be called. In other words, we don't have an 800 phone number, right? So we have a contact list, a huge contact list, and you can call any one of them anytime and start to get to know some of these folks. And some you'll like and some you won't. The ones you do like, you call again, of course. No harm, no foul with that. But this is the tip of the iceberg for you. And so there's so much for all of us. And I'm not just saying this for you, Celine. I'm saying for all of us.
Right.
There is so much yet to come. So much yet to come. We're not finished. And, you know, every day is another opportunity I have through my kind of, for me, my conscious contact with my higher power to do the work that I think is necessary to move forward in my own recovery and help others. And it's pretty simple in the end, you know. And I know I'll never be a finished product, too. So it's exciting because I'll always be able to grow. And I'll always have people to work with. That's pretty cool.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And Mary Ellen, the same for you. So sounds like you have people that you're contacting. So you both are welcome to call anytime and find someone who will mostly listen, but also, you know, can give some feedback or something. But, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So you both doing okay?
Yes. Thanks.
Are we? Okay. Pastor Deborah, you started this all. So we have about 6 minutes left. So I would like anything you would like to close with or to share with anyone? It's all yours.
Okay. I think what everybody needs to take away is healing is always ongoing. And when it rises up, or if you relate it to a medical thing, it's been in submission. It's sort of been down in the basement. And Selena, the door got opened, and we helped her walk up the stairs into the light. And what happens is healing from all of us were able to help her let that out. And she took one more step towards a path that maybe she's never been on before, but she's got to deal with this biggie. This is a biggie. And she was with some trusted people who knew what to do. We've all been there, you know, with our mamas or no mamas. And we've all worked through it. We've all been angry. We've all cried. It just hurts. And, you know, eventually, as Bill says, each day you get a little bit more healed, and the next day you deal with it right then and there. And then you go and you get with a group of people. And eventually it will be healed. Won't be as less. May not still have any understanding about why, all that kind of, but you won't feel the deep anger, and the anger has to come out, because when you suppress the anger, you try to hold that down, that's when depression comes. But it has to explode. It's like a tea kettle. The pressure mounts and mounts and mounts, and somebody opened the door, however it got open, so it could explode on out. It came out tonight. We allowed you to spew, you know, the hurt on us. We can take it so you could be healed. A sore was lanced. The was coming out. And you might be tired and stuff, but that's what NASC is for. We've all had stuff in it that we've had to help each other through. And like what Bill said, you went through tonight, just now. That was a form of healing. Is that the end? No. Just one little step on one little day on one little phone call. That's all. So hopefully you'll learn to keep walking. And when more come up, call somebody. I got to talk. I got to scream. I got to do something. But you just listen. And that's what NASC is here for. Any of us would do that, and we'll just listen to what you got to say. We'll cry with you. Go, yeah, we've been there too. Put our arms around you if we can, you know, sort of. And let you talk. So healing comes, as Bill said, day by day, in the present, you know, and then you move on. You'll be different when you get off the phone call. You'll feel lighter. You might feel like, wow, but it'll build back up, and there might need to explode again. We'll call Bill, call us, you know, and get it out. You're safe. We're not going to not love you. We're not going to hang up on you. We're not going to charge you any money. And no, and we're right here with you. Okay. And when you talk to your therapist, or you can talk to the recovery group. Sometimes, as Bill will tell you, you need people every single day for a while in your life just to say, I just need to talk to somebody. That's what NASC is for. And that's all I have about healing.
Thank you. Wow. This has been a powerful session. Thank you for being here and for opening up like that. Appreciate it. I think it was, to me, the panel was the perfect size because everyone was able to share and support each other. I think that was great. Sometimes it helps not to have 10 or 15 people on a panel. So any closing words? We've got about 2 minutes. Selena, closing words?
I just want to let you guys know how thankful I am for NASCA. I was searching everywhere for a support group and a therapist and everything, and your website came across my computer, and I've benefited so much in such a short time, so I'm very thankful for you.
Oh, thank you. And we're thankful you're part of our family. Thank you. Mary Ellen, any closing words?
I just feel really blessed to have been part of this evening. So thank you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Bill?
It's been a great show. This is the whole idea of what we do. Exactly. It's a perfect example of how, you know, healing can happen in the moment. As Deborah said, you know, the moment will be over when the show closes, but there will be other moments. This is an ongoing thing. It's a living thing. Let's put it that way. Okay? It's a living thing.
Right.
And, you know, and we're delighted that we're all part of it. I guess that's what I would say.
Thank you. And I have the 60 seconds in my ear. Pastor Deborah, closing words?
Keep NASCA up and keep everybody going forward day by day. And we'll keep reaching for healing, and it's there. Got it. And the support of NASCA will help us help everybody get there.
Thank you. Blessings to all the children and blessings to all the survivors of child abuse. Good night.
Good night.
I'll know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done. Thank you.